Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You've discovered your link to GoPowerCat.com's PowerCat podcast. Now, here's your host, GoPowerCat.com publisher, Tim Fitzgerald.
Welcome to another edition of the PowerCat Questions podcast. You're not in some weird time loop. We've already had one this week. Now, basically, we started a podcast on Wednesday evening, and I wouldn't shut up, and it got so long that we realized, hey, we need to stop. And we still had more questions. So here we are. We're back to talk to you again. Tim Fitzgerald, Ryan Gilbert, Zach Carlson. The only thing different about this podcast is my clothing and who's asking the questions. Zach's going to take over the MC role today. And we are sponsored by The Fridge. Make sure when you're in town, you visit The Fridge at the corner of Westport. I got it right, guys. And Claflin, right here in Manhattan. Across from a Taco Bell. So if you need to get those nacho fries that apparently are addictive, according to the commercials. Jeez, what a horrible commercial. Go ahead and stop by the fridge while you're in the neighborhood. Segment sponsors also get their liquor from the fridge. Tanner's and the High Low. Everyone at Tanner's, be warned. I'm thinking about you. That really did sound kind of creepy. That was kind of fun. Boys, we're going to talk a little basketball and some other topics today. People are really, really fired up about K-State moving that game, which is really why we got so long in yesterday's podcast. I mean, people are really upset that there won't be 8 games in town, which they never get. I still haven't looked back, Zach, to figure out when was the last time K-State had 8 home games. Because if it's happened, it hasn't happened very often because we haven't had 12 games in a season very long.
2013, I think.
It's really a scheduling anomaly when it happens, particularly now that K-State is doing home and homes with Power 5 conferences. Once they kind of settle into that, it is set up so you play the road game when you have 5 home games in the conference, which is next year. So it's really kind of like the way it was designed, but the Stanford game was delayed and fell behind. It's just kind of a weird thing. It's okay, folks. You're still getting 7 home games. You're just not getting the 8th game that you normally don't have. So quit complaining about something you don't normally have. I don't know. That makes sense. I mean, people make it sound like, oh, we still get 7 games, so we want more. Well, you don't normally have that. I mean, it's like complaining about you didn't win the lottery. I've made plans for the lottery, but I'm not going to complain that I didn't win it.
You know what's funny about this Stanford game moving is the fact that in 2016, K-State only had 6 home games when they played at Stanford. And that's why they had the concert that year. To make up for having only 6 games. So really, there's no net gain here. I mean, yeah, they would have gained it back with an 8th game from that season, but 2013 was the last year, the last instance of 8 home games in Manhattan.
Ah, the concert. The wildly overpriced concert.
Did you go?
No. And I am a fan of the Zac Brown Band, but I did not go because it was so expensive. It was crazy.
Yeah. The undercard was not.
No, that's where they screwed up. You either have to go all country or not country at all. I mean, you can't go half and half unless it's like a classic rock band that all of us old country people, you know, if you bring in Foreigner to go with Zac Brown Band or something. And all of us old farts like, yeah, rock and roll. I don't know. I don't mean to belittle people who are upset about it. I just think we're in an age now where we have to have a reaction. We just, if something isn't exactly the way we hoped,
there's the reaction.
Yeah.
We have to have a reaction. Oh, Daphne. I'll be honest here. Nobody really benefits from a home game more than me. I don't want to travel. I don't want to pay for you guys to be in hotel rooms and drive to Dallas / Arlington. I don't want to do that. I want to drive a half mile and park up at the stadium and walk into the press box and cover a game and come back and do the post-game podcast from my home studio. That just sounds great to me. I would love it. And I would have friends in town for that game. And if it was an afternoon or morning game, I'd get my work done and go to Aggieville with them and have fun. I understand the beauty of a home game. The funniest thing to come out of all this was I realized that that Mississippi State game was so traumatic that I have forgotten it. I totally forgot that they just played Mississippi State. I was thinking Auburn was the last Power Five. I have blocked that from my memory because they got thumped so bad that day.
Wow, we really did.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that until you just said it.
I know. It's like it was a trauma that all of a sudden we recovered a memory. It's like, oh, yeah, that did happen.
And we forgot that they went to Mississippi State and won.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. Weird. Oh, well, we're all here. We're ready for your questions from Wabash Station, and I'm going to turn it over to Zach.
First question of the podcast from Win the Dang Day 2001. I don't know why I said it out loud. It doesn't say it. He uses the letters. Anyway, from what are your thoughts on the transfer of Julius Brents?
I'm a little surprised they took a corner. Maybe he's going to be a safety. They lost a lot of safeties. Talked to Ryan Wallace about it. It's like Justin Gardner size at corner. If that's what he's going to play, it gives you some really nice depth at corner. I find it interesting that all of the portal guys so far have been on the defensive side.
Hey.
What?
Next question. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Slow down.
I don't know. I don't know what the questions are. So I'm getting in trouble for stuff I don't know about. But I like him. I could tell that Kirk Ferentz was upset by it. Which is a good sign. He knew he was losing a pretty good football player, but I just want to see him play. And I'm a little surprised that they've taken, guys in the secondary like this. These weren't the positions I was banking on, but I can't talk about it now or I'll get in trouble with Zach. I don't want to get in trouble with Zach.
Yeah. From Estonia Cat, through the transfer portal, K-State has picked up Charlotte defensive tackle Timmy Horn, Louisville defensive back Russ Yeast, Utah State linebacker Eric Munoz, and now Iowa defensive back Julius Brents. That's 4-0 for the defense. Is there any reason for the imbalance so far? And especially when there's a black hole at wide receiver, do you think it will even out over time, or is the staff confident that they already have offensive answers on the roster?
I wouldn't describe it as a black hole. I mean, it's not like you're passing the ball to James Harden. I mean, that's a black hole. You just never get it back. I am surprised, and probably here's what's causing this, is that coming to play for Chris Klieman is an easier sale on the defensive side because he's known for defensive football. It's hard to find a defensive head coach. It is becoming more and more rare to have a defensive-minded head coach. And so if you feel like you've been in a program where not enough attention was paid to defense, which I don't know that any of those really fit that description, you might be more interested in finding a head coach like Chris Klieman. I think they will get offensive transfers. They just haven't come in any particular order than here's the guys that wanted to come right now, if that makes sense. These are the guys we locked down. I think they'll get a receiver for sure, and they seem to be looking for tight ends. But I also don't think they're going to just take someone to take someone. I think at linebacker, they took someone for depth, period. Maybe defensive tackle, too. I haven't watched his film, but my sense is we need more bodies at those positions. And maybe they feel like at receiver, while they're struggling a little bit, maybe they feel like we have depth, but if we can find a frontline guy, a guy that can come in and really add to our playmaking ability, we'll take it. I think we'll see the same approach at tight end. I think they're not done. And I kind of laugh how whenever we'd ask Chris Klieman about the transfer portal, he would be like, well, we're a developmental program, so we don't want to really lean on that. And I'm like, lean on it, man. It's a weird year. You lost a bunch of guys in the portal, and here they are. They're realizing we've got to take guys in the, from the portal, which is a really solid move, particularly if they're a one-and-done senior, which some of these guys aren't. You know, just get a guy in and get something out of him and call it good and get the scholarship back. So I think they will do something on the offensive side, and if they end up not, it's just because they didn't find the right guy that was the right type of player and personality. I think they've learned a lesson about taking a transfer, whether it's portal or junior college. You've got to make sure they fit your locker room and don't disrupt your locker room. And they're probably being very careful about that.
The last part of what you were saying, Fitz, I'm totally with you. You know, we've talked about it a bunch here on the podcast and on Wabash Station. A lot of these players, there's a reason they're in the transfer portal. I'm not saying that they're bad kids or anything like that, but like you mentioned, Fitz, the personality issues, they've got to be the right fit for Kansas State. There's a reason they left their previous program, so you shouldn't be quick, you know, to jump on anyone simply because they're a good athlete. If they're not going to be a good fit for K-State, don't bring them in, period.
Yep, that's exactly it. You got to make sure they're the right kids, and they just have to find who fits. They ran into trouble this year because they had some guys that they had taken for other reasons, and they didn't really mesh with what's going on in the locker room. You screw up your locker room, you screw up your team. So they are going to probe around, and it almost strikes me, while they have guys from Iowa and Louisville Power 5 programs, that they tend to like guys coming up through the ranks a little bit more. That maybe those guys are in the portal because they feel like they need to go up a level to achieve what they want to achieve. While Power 5 guys are probably in the portal simply because I didn't get enough playing time, I didn't like this, I didn't like that. And maybe there's some guys that get into the portal out of the Power 5 that are like, well, I'm not going to play much at this level. Maybe I should step down. So that excludes K-State from that group. Just got to find the right dudes. And they seem to be very careful right now about making sure they find the right guys.
From Itay and Beebe, who coaches the post players here? Is Bradford getting enough coaching from our coaches? Does he have staff and team members to practice against to improve his post play for Big 12 games?
You know, I'm not real sure who's handling the post right now. I mean, you've got Jordan Henriquez on the staff. He's not supposed to coach, but, you know, that goes on. And this is a time when we're not around the staff enough, so it's kind of made it a little bit difficult for us. But I actually think he's at an advantage here because he actually does have other competent big men in practice to work with. And I have seen Jermaine Henderson talk to him on the bench, but I'm not sure that means anything. It would seem like since Jermaine replaced Brad Korn, who did coach the big men, that might be what he handles. But like I said, Iziagu can play. I mean, is he a All-American? Heck no, not All-Conference. But he runs the floor and blocks out and rebounds and sets screens. So he knows what he's doing. Carlton Lingard is struggling with some stuff, but at least he's long and athletic that you have that in practice. I mean, most seven-footers that are of the stature of Bradford don't have a similar player in practice. Not many programs have two guys built like that. Not many programs have two really good post players to practice against each other either. So I think he's going to be fine. I think what he needs to do is what he's doing right now. He's going up against guys in Big 12 games. And what we're seeing is his problem isn't going against bangers. He seems to hold his own against other big guys who might be of light quickness. He has struggled and got into foul trouble when he goes against quickness that might get around him. So he reaches with his hands and, you know, sticks a leg out, whatever he has to do to kind of slow him down. And that is those are habits he's got to break, and that just takes some time, and he'll get there. One of the things I've been really impressed about is he has so many things he does extremely well. The way he scores around the rim, he's very emphatic about his dunking, but if he doesn't have the right angle on the dunk, he puts it up off the backboard and protects the ball with his off hand. It's really impressive. He's been well trained in some of these basic things that honestly big men don't do. They catch the ball and then they want to put it on the ground and bounce it, and that's a mistake. And then they want to go up with it without really trying to protect the ball. That's a mistake. He seems to handle himself pretty well. I'm encouraged. He's just got to learn to stay out of foul trouble. Just got to play proper defense and learn when you can get away with some of the things he needs to do in the post, which are fouls, but they don't get called, and when he needs to just kind of surrender the bucket. I got beat. I'm going to have to give this one up. So there's a real balance in there he has to learn.
Bradford's, we've talked about this a lot, but you know, Eziegu or Lingard, neither of them have really played any Power 5 basketball before this season. So coming in as a freshman, I'm not trying to make any excuse for, you know, not only this team, but just Bradford individually. But, you know, he hasn't gotten much to go against. And as Eziegu and Lingard get healthy, as Logan Landers comes in next year, he's going to start to get more and more reps in practice, because we look at the Fort Hays State loss and stuff like that. I mean, these games they're playing, they didn't even have exhibition. These were their first go-arounds, you know, with live basketball. So I think the trajectory is going in the right direction for Bradford. I don't think you mentioned Coach Southwell. I don't know. Again, we don't really know much, but, I mean, Henderson's not necessarily a big guy. Neither is Lowry, so Southwell played the four at K-State. Maybe he's coaching up Bradford. I'm sure J.O.'s gotten in there as well. But, I mean, overall, I'm not panicking. I know that that's not what the question's asking. But I love where he's going. He's just got to stay bought in. And if he does that, he'll have a good future at K-State for sure.
Also from Etain Beebe, what could be done to have a quality recruiting class like 2020 every year?
Well, the numbers, when you have, what, 7 or 8 players leaving from last year, you're going to have a pretty dang good recruiting class. So that can't happen every year. And it goes back to what we always talk about. You can't have the turnover and the issues and the bad eggs and everyone leaving. You can't have that. That gives you a good recruiting class. So you got to look and – what's the word I'm trying to say? You know, it's good, but it's not good. Because something really bad had to happen to get there. So, but I don't know how you get those good players. I mean, Southwell has been great with getting some players involved, with getting Maximus Edwards. You got to focus on recruiting. I don't know facilities. I don't know if that's what the question's really asking, but Fitz, you would know more about that, you know, than I do. I don't know what it takes to really get a young athlete to come to Manhattan, really.
Well, you nailed it. This is just such an anomaly that you would have this number of players open, and it comes from mismanagement of your roster and picking the wrong guys, getting back to the same thing we talked about, the transfer portal on the football side. You ended up with some guys that didn't mesh together well in your locker room, and you lose the locker room, you lose your team. We've seen that now twice with Bruce Weber. This is not ideal to be in this position, but I credit the coaches for having a nice recovery, not being a program that gets one and dones or really high profile guys to go out and find impact players as freshmen to come into Manhattan, Kansas is a job well done. So they've kind of fallen down and gotten up gracefully, and you don't want to fall down. Ideally in basketball, you'd have 3 scholarships a year. Once in a while, you'd hop up to 4. And having 8's just weird. I think what gets them into trouble on the recruiting trail, and I'm going to be blunt here, they spend too many resources, and we've talked about this before, on guys that they don't really have a shot at getting. I mean, that's not to say they shouldn't go after those guys. They know they need to learn when the answer will be no. And I'm going to stop trying to hit on you, so to speak, if you're not returning my texts and I don't feel like you're sincerely interested. If you've been investing a lot of time in a kid and you don't make his top 8, then you just lost a bunch of time, because being in the top eight is pretty meaningless anyhow. Top two, top three, maybe even top four with the right kid. But if you can't make the top eight and you don't realize you're not a player for his top eight, wow. Wow. That's your time on the recruiting trail is a resource, and they squander so much of that resource, and then they end up, honestly, maybe taking some chances. I thought the lesson they would get out of this is to really have the groundwork done with recruits so that you don't have to take so many chances. I think they do. Really, it's not about the number of guys. They did a great job of building relationships that ended up into commitments. And maybe Maximus will be a great player, but I just kind of feel like that's someone you probably could have gotten a better player if you'd picked your fights better. And that's someone that is going to have to develop. And the other side of this, folks, is when you have this many young, competent players, some really good players, you can't really sell immediate stardom or coming in and contributing right away. That's a huge advantage in coaching. If you can tell a recruit, heck yeah, you're going to come in and play. We got tons of minutes available. Well, you can't say that with this next year's recruits. They don't have a ton of minutes unless you're stretch four. And that obviously is one of the players that they've got in this class. We'll see. I'm not blown away by this recruit, but, they should be done now. They should be at 13. And if they continue to recruit, that tells us they fully expect someone to leave. And again, we're not around the team this year, so it's hard to tell who that might be. But God, why? They shouldn't have someone departing this program when 2/3 of your roster is brand new and 11 of your 13 scholarships are within, 1 year of being new. My God, what's going on? So stability is the next step for this program. And the first step of stability is recruiting guys that can play and help you at this level and not get guys that you frankly quickly find out we made a mistake. We need to move them on down the road. And that's happened a lot on this roster through the last 9 years.
From Email Wildcat 82, is Maximus the coolest name for a K-State athlete since Jeremetrius?
Oh, I think you have got to go back further than that. I don't know who, but I think Maximus wins. Man.
Taco Wallace.
Well, that wasn't really his name. Is Maximus actually his name? I think it is, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Fair enough.
Taco was not his name, nor would he tell us the story behind the nickname. And I think we all know why. So, it's a badass name. That's a problem with naming your son Maximus. It really sets great expectations. And for me, I think his goal should be to conquer what was the Roman Empire, if you name Maximus. I mean, anything short of conquering large chunks of the free world when you're named Maximus is a disappointment. So being able to hit a 15-foot jumper consistently seems really under the bar for him, but I'll take it. If you can hit a three-pointer, play good defense, don't turn the ball over, I'll let you get off with not conquering half of Europe or all of Europe. I mean, honestly, Maximus, man.
What about Good News?
Good News was a really good name. But again, if you name your child something, it better fit. I mean, that's like, what'd your parents name you? Well, I'm named Skinny. Well, they kind of screwed that up. I know, but it just didn't work out the right way for them.
What about Deuce? That's pretty cool.
Also not a real name.
Mm-hmm. A real name.
The question doesn't say coolest real name. It says coolest name.
I don't think you get credit for a nickname because you weren't given that name.
That question didn't specify.
That's true. That's true. I guess a better comparison would be naming me Harry. It would just be kind of weird.
From Yo Mama, what's the deal with the apparent dress code change for the college basketball coaching staffs? Were they just dressing up for the crowd inside the arenas?
Okay, so here's Bruce Weber's explanation. Now, I don't know if I buy into this because everyone's done it. It's not like just Bruce Weber, you know, was given this information. Point one, they were told that of all the things that coaches wear that might be carriers of germs is a tie. You only dry clean a tie when you have a stain or every year. And same with a coat. With a suit coat and slacks, you put them on, you might get a couple wearings out of them, and then take it to the dry cleaners. And in the germ-fearing world in which we live, that's not good. So they've all gone to things that they take off at the end of the day and throw in the wash and clean them. That's what Bruce Weber said. I think it's more like, screw it. This sucks. We're just all going to, and they all kind of got together saying, yeah, we're going to start wearing sweats. We're going to wear a pullover or a polo. Guys, I like it. I dig the uniform coach look. When they all wear the same clothes, whether it's a matching polo or quarter zip or, you know, like spandex top with sparkles, that'd be fantastic too. I'm in, man. If they could get the fluffy shirt from Seinfeld and they all wore that, I'm in. That's not bad at all. I like it. The day they all wore those matching lavender quarter zips that everyone loves with the emo on them, man, that was a cool look. I dig it. I hope this is something we carry on with. I've never understood the suit and tie. Why? And again, I think we can all agree that as Bob Huggins described himself in a Kellis Robinette story, he's always been a trendsetter. And that Frank Martin doesn't belong in a suit and never belonged in a suit. And we need him to be more casual because he looks better with hair and not in a suit. So we got to get this thing balanced out here. But I'm all in. I love it. In fact,
if there's one person that should wear a suit, it's Frank Martin.
Why?
He looks like he belongs in a suit. You don't want to mess with him.
Oh, that's true.
Like you're coming to the sideline, and you better have his money. That's what he looks like. You better have the money if you're gonna come see Frank.
Hey, Mr. Huggins but told me to come talk to you.
What I like about the polos and everything else is during these November tournaments, the coaches have always worn slacks and polos or Hawaiian shirts or whatever. It looks normal because we've seen it before. It's not an uncommon occurrence to see a coach in a polo. And especially when you have guys like Bob Knight, Bob Huggins, maybe just need to name yourself Bob and you don't have to wear a suit. But the fact is, it's not unusual to see somebody without a suit. Now that we're seeing it every day, it's fine.
You know, baseball, the managers just wear the same uniform the players have in football. You know, they're just wearing some Nike dry fits. So, why not? I like it too.
I'm kind of into making the coaches wear exactly what the players do.
Ooh, like, what number do you think Bruce Weber would be?
One, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he be one?
Nah,
or he could wear it 69 because he's really nice. Is it the baseball thing is just weird, isn't it? Isn't it just weird that they wear the exact same uniform? Why?
Imagine a baseball coach in anything else, though. I think that would be weird. It's just what we're used to seeing, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, a coach, a baseball manager in slacks would look ridiculous going out to the mound. Oh, that's the trainer, right? No, that's the coach. Nah. Keep them in the uniform. Give everybody a number.
The pandemic's changed a lot of things. And for me, I have literally, since I settled in after coming back from Kansas City for the 15-day lockdown, and I've worn jeans twice and anything above jeans, like slacks, zero times. Twice in 10 months now. It has been sweats or shorts every day. And I got to tell you guys, I like it. I like it a lot. It's that I've given up on life look that I think I'm going to just settle into post-pandemic. Coming to a press box near you, Fitz in sweats. Ah, screw it.
I haven't thought about it, but I've also only worn jeans 10 times. And I'm pretty sure you could guess the 10 times that I wore those jeans.
The 10 home games?
10 football games. Yeah. All not home games, but yeah, football games. Yeah.
That's funny.
Wore 10 pairs of jeans.
That is funny.
Because I've been inside the press box. Normally I'm wearing, what's funny is I'm either wearing shorts or sweats because it's cold outside.
All right. And now
I don't dress for fashion. I dress for warmth or cool if it's hot outside.
I dress for comfort and sexy. I'll tell you what, let's put a bookmark right here, as my friend Matt Walters likes to say, as we take a break on this edition of the PowerCat Questions podcast, the bonus podcast this week. We did one earlier. We had some extra questions. Here we are. I don't know how good this is, but it's here. We'll be back after the break. We're sponsored by The Fridge. Our segment sponsors are the Hi-Low and Tanner's. Both in Aggieville, make sure you support local businesses.
The PowerCat Podcast will be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We now send it back to the PowerCat Podcast.
Welcome back to this bonus edition of the PowerCat Questions Podcast. We decided to do two this week. We really had enough questions, as it turned out, for one and a half. This is the half, with two halves in it. But we have one final question from someone who's a little bit disgruntled with me. And it's an interesting question, so we'll get into that. Remember, we're supported by The Fridge, Hi-Low, and Tanner's. Please frequent local businesses in Manhattan or wherever you live. The Hi-Lo and Tanners get their alcohol from the fridge, so should you when you're in town. Make sure you are helping out all of those small businesses that are struggling so much right now. I'm glad they've been alongside us for a while. We might have some changes coming to the sponsorship realm, but things come and go, and we will see what about that later. But now let's get to that final question. It's Fitz and Zach and Ryan Gilbert, your usual trio. Zach, who's emceeing this one, take it away.
All right. Last question of the podcast from Riley Gates. Congrats, Riley. Does Fitz regret voting Breece Hall over Devontae? Devontae Smith, right?
Yeah.
Classic.
I didn't pay that close attention to it.
After watching the national title game, yeah.
It's probably embarrassing for me to admit that, but Devontae Smith for Heisman. Does Fitz regret voting Breece Hall over Devontae Smith for Heisman after Monday night?
Yeah, I do.
And Riley says, hint, I think he was crazy for doing it in the first place. You voted him second, right?
Yeah.
And Devontae, that's not that big. 1 point?
It's not like I left him off the
Riley, ballot. get your knickers out of a twist. It's fine.
I'd watch Alabama and they were, you could have filled out your entire ballot with Alabama offensive players and not been crazy at all. But no, I wasn't really sold on anyone. As I said at the time when my ballot was due, it was a really tough year. I didn't feel like we had enough intersectional games and, but yeah, after watching again, it's because it was an intersectional game and we got to see him against other opponents. Watching him go up against 4- and 5-star recruits at corner for Alabama or for Ohio State, and they couldn't even, they had no chance. The guy's open all the time. Someone, did you see his comment? He kind of bit the head off of a media member when they asked him about being open throughout the game and how easy it was. And he said it wasn't easy. I mean, he had to work for that. But he makes things look easy because he's such an extraordinary athlete. And he has such good fundamentals. He could get off the line without even being touched because he was so quick and but could make such a move. Yeah, I do. If I had the ballot back to do it post all football, I probably would reverse those two, but that's not how the Heisman works. You don't get to vote the votes go in before the season's over. It's just kind of stupid when you think about it. So, I don't regret voting for Breece Hall. I just, at the time, from what the information I had in front of me, there was so much distraction with Alabama. I'm just proud of one thing. I didn't vote for a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I mean, my ballot, and I'm just so bad. I'm totally spacing off the young man's name at Texas San Antonio. I always vote a regional person third on my ballot. A person I feel like deserves recognition for a good season. It's a third place vote. It really is pretty meaningless. I don't know what else, if he got any other votes than mine. But I like to do that. I've done it with K-Staters and KU players in the past, too. But should I, in hindsight, if with more information, voted for Devonta Smith? Yeah. But I didn't have all that information. So it's like I didn't know the end of the book. So I don't regret finding out what the end was by getting there. So I'm fine. Breece Hall is special. He's really good. And I think he was clearly the best running back in the country. And I think as we found out, the one thing we found out through the playoffs, bowls, postseason, whatever, is that Big 12 played pretty good defense this year, and yet Breece Hall was putting up the numbers he did. That tells you a lot.
See, I think putting a UTSA player at third is more of a disservice to your Heisman ballot versus putting Breece Hall at 1 and Devontae Smith at 2. Like,
it's just a personal preference.
If Riley's going to get upset at something, or if anybody's going to get upset at something, at least Breece Hall was a solid college football player on a national stage. I don't want to undercut, the UTSA player that we have no clue what his name is, apparently.
I'm just so bad with names. It's
but like I'm saying here,
Sincere McCormick.
Sincere McCormick.
Yep.
Sincere?
Sincere. Sincere McCormick.
I don't want to discredit his season at all, but the third place vote there is a throwaway vote. At least Devontae got 2 points from you versus three.
Yeah.
At least you had him on your ballot versus the rest of the finalists that you did not have on your ballot. So you were close enough. It's the Heisman vote. You don't get to vote one person. You get to vote three, and you get to rank them. So
Sincere had 1,345 yards and 11 touchdowns in 10 games, second leading rusher in America behind Breece Hall. And Dave Campbell's magazine down in Texas, which is highly, highly respected. Dave Campbell's Texas Football named him the Texas College Player of the Year. So above anyone from the Big 12 or Texas A&M or any of those other schools, SMU, Houston, Sincere McCormick was considered the best college football player in all of Texas this year, and he was really good. It's just got a weird name. I can't recall it.
How about this? Sincere enters the transfer portal.
Got it.
And then he comes to K-State. He's a wide receiver, and then he wins the Heisman, and all these questions just come together.
I like it, and he has a better name than Maximus.
Yeah. And, wow. Yeah, I forgot that part. Yep.
Yep. It's a beautiful
tie
thing.
Tie it all together.
No, yeah, I think it's silly we vote for a third place guy for the Heisman. I just do. And really what that vote's about is who they get to invite to New York, because they tend to like at least three. Wasn't it four this year that went to New York for the ceremony?
Do they even go?
Oh, that's true. They got invited. Wow, what an honor to get invited onto a Zoom call. That's crazy. Yeah. So I put Tony Sands on my ballot, a KU running back, and I like to tip the hat to someone within the region, and honestly, reaching down to San Antonio was a stretch, but I didn't feel like there was anyone on K-State, shockingly, or KU. I was already using a vote for Iowa State, so maybe I should have just abandoned that, but I didn't like this year's list of players. In part because we didn't have a full schedule. You know, some teams were playing 7 games. Some teams were playing 10 games. Some teams had an out-of-conference game. Other teams just played within their conference, which is very incestuous. You know, you just don't know how – maybe the coach is really good at scheming against the opponents he knows. So it just got to be really difficult. And the thing that turned me off about all the guys with Alabama is I watched Alabama play – and it was just so clear that they were so much better than everyone else. The line is better. If you got a great running back, the quarterback's better. If you got a great receiver, the quarterback's better. Man, the only thing I liked about Mac Jones at quarterback is that shirtless photo of him after the game. Did you guys see that?
Mm-mm.
He should be embarrassed to take his shirt off in the locker room, let alone get his picture taken. He made Tom Brady's photo for the NFL Combine look better. He has no muscle definition, and he's chubby. It was crazy.
Are you saying he looks like James Harden? Have you seen those pictures?
Oh, my God.
Of him with his jersey on?
Oh, my God. James Harden looks like the old guy in City League Basketball. I can't believe anyone traded what they did to get James Harden. He's a tub right now. At least I'm a tub, but I'm not an athlete.
Can you believe that Brooklyn traded for him while Kyrie Irving is just AWOL in Toronto?
What a mess.
With Drake.
Oh, my God. He's going to be doing Nutrisystem with Murray Osmond pretty soon. Be one of his endorsement deals. Mac Jones, don't take your shirt off in front of the camera ever again. If you haven't seen it, okay, I'm bringing it up for the guys.
I haven't seen Jones, but I saw a picture of Devontae Smith, and he had, like, no muscle.
Well, he's a receiver. I mean, he can be skinny, and you know what's funny about him? They're so good that he wasn't even supposed to be the star receiver. on the team. I mean, that's like Sebastian Taylor having a season where all of a sudden he pops up and wins the Heisman, you know, and you're like, well, he wasn't even supposed to be the best guy on the team. Okay, and now, folks, this is good podcasting right here, by the way. I'm going to share my screen with my guys. There it is.
Whoa. Interesting.
I don't know how you go through a college weight training program for a football program. Guys, do you see any resemblance to a pec muscle there?
Nope.
I will just say there's one NFL quarterback right now that is possibly retiring that would fit it, that Mac Jones would fit in well with that team. Ooh. If that's the look they're going for.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Big Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is Big Ben.
It's
if you told me Mac, if you told me Mac Jones played for Miami, Ohio, and he's been there for the last 5 years and he's ready to play in the league, I believe you. I'll take it.
Man, he looks like he wouldn't even make the fraternity basketball team. He seriously, he looks like the guy that, hey guys, I'm coming out for the basketball team. Don't bother, Mac, man. You just party all the time. You're not good enough to play for us. I'll tell you this, Riley Gates, I'm happy I didn't vote for that guy for the Heisman. I would be filled with regret if I voted for that guy for the Heisman. Now, he plays pretty well, but when you got a receiver and running back like he does, it's a lot easier to be relaxed about things. Man, what a specimen. And I think it's the farmer's tan that really sets it off. And says, hey, I can crush a beer can on my head. So anyhow.
I like looking at your tabs right now. Yeah.
I know. I'm snooping around his laptop.
I know what news he's liked today.
Yangling?
Yep.
Didn't they just go to Texas though?
Yeah, that's what you were looking up, right?
Yeah, but they were the yesterday's promo was highlighting their little moving graphic moved around Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado, and New Mexico. So I thought they were going to all of them.
Nope, those just bordered Texas apparently, Fitz. Very sorry for you.
If this was what you're doing, why'd you put Colorado, New Mexico in there or Kansas? Why wouldn't you just do the bordering states like Missouri, Oklahoma, and because they're in Arkansas and Texas? Oh, well. Yeah. And then there's Mac Jones and then there's Twitter. What is that? Get off there. And then Daily Delivery and of course, Brooklyn Ents. That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
First player to get drafted, I think, for K-State in the history of the program. She'd be the second pro. I can't think of the one that just left for Denmark. I think she's from Denmark, but she just signed with one of the top teams in their division.
That's really nice for recruiting. You know, I mean, to be able to tell your area recruits that you've had someone drafted into the professional women's league, and they now have a Kansas City franchise that wants local players. That's just cool.
You know what's wild to me about this new Kansas City franchise is that 3 years ago, Kansas City had a franchise, but they moved to Salt Lake City, and that team folded. So all of the players and coaches, all the personnel from old Kansas City went to Salt Lake City. And once that team folded, all of those players are now going back to Kansas City just 3 years later. So it's technically a brand new franchise in Kansas City. It's an expansion team, but they have basically all their old players that they had from 3 years ago. It's not all of them, but there's a handful of players there that are definitely carryovers. It's very interesting. Also, the logo that they announced looks very whelming.
Wow.
Oh, underwhelming. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I thought it was an under or over. It was just whelming. I kind of liked it.
No,
You think it's underwhelming? I liked it.
It looks like if you were to go onto a video game and create your own logo for a team, that's one of the options it would give you. I mean, it looks like something I would make just for fun. I don't know. But the colors are strange, I think, too.
I liked the strange colors.
Teal, blue, and red.
Yeah, the blue and the red were the shared colors. And what was it? The shared colors in the two state flags? Is that what it was?
I don't know. I didn't look up the meanings behind everything, but
they have the two stars for the duality of Missouri and Kansas. The weirdest thing, they have three stripes on their crest because it's signifies the three trails that went through this area, Santa Fe and whatever else, I can't remember, which is kind of cool. But
I didn't get that. Oh, could you try again?
Why, Siri, shut up. Why are you involved in this? I didn't ask you anything, Siri. Go away.
Oh.
I don't have an answer for that. Is there something else I can help with?
Siri, shut up. She did. They're always listening, people. They're always listening.
I have a TikTok to send you based on that. But that's a side point.
But the weird thing is they had three stripes. When I say three stripes, what do you guys think of?
Adidas.
They're a Nike pro. Nike sponsors their kits, and they've got three stripes on their crest. It's kind of weird.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the Patriots, how they have three stripes on their socks. But that's actually because they were an Adidas team 20, 30, 25 years ago.
Never
there was
that.
It's weird. That was kind of what they were back then. But I don't like I hate teams that make these new designs and everything has to have some sort of symbolism behind it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just make a logo look cool. And for something as generic as that, where you have to explain away design motifs and why something is the way it is, I'm not a fan. And I'm also, and on soccer logos, I'm not a fan of using stars if you haven't won a championship. That's what the stars are for, championships. You put the star on top or wherever you want, but only after you win a championship. Stars are not design things. Those are earned.
Yeah, that's what people were really confused with. Because I guess the women's team won two championships, the original Kansas City team. I don't know. And so they thought that's what it was for.
What it should be for.
But it's for Kansas and Missouri. Anyhow. The big question I want to get, since we've wandered into this weird spot, because
we're just to extend this thing.
I'm kind of feeling that way, but I do want to get your thoughts on this. The big question people had was, well, what's your nickname going to be? And I'm like, have you learned nothing from Sporting KC? And that's what they are. They're Sporting KC. You know, soccer teams don't traditionally they might adopt something as they go.
Well, they're still just Kansas City NWSL.
Right.
They don't have an FC yet. I mean, it's still unofficial, I think, as far as what they're going to be called.
Right.
So
but here's what struck me is they were calling it their KC Crest, the logo. And I'm like, if you need a name, I like it. I like it.
Which is funny because the logo looks like Aquafresh more than Crest.
That's it for the podcast, folks. We're going to end on that note. We're shutting this thing down. We appreciate your questions from Wabash Station. I'm glad we could get out a second podcast this week for you. We will be back next week with the regular lineup of Insiders in Your Questions podcast. Plus, I might have something bonus for you if you're really good, if you stay out of trouble. I'm still curious to know if they're going to play at Texas. They have not made a decision, apparently. But, of course, the decision needs to be made only before they leave for Texas. And that happens on Friday. We will see. Will K-State play basketball again this week? Stay tuned to Go Powercat. How's that for a cliffhanger? My goodness, that'll drive the clicks. Wow.
Power Cat Podcast. All rights reserved. GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street Publishing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.